A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. And we ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call.
Fowler?
Here.
Bonnet? Teaser?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
And
Chairman? Here. We got proof of publication of the meeting notice that will become part of the permanent record. Item number six, groundwater monitoring joint funding agreement with USGS.
I move to adopt the agenda, by the way. Item four.
Agenda. Adoption of agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Adoption of agenda. Oh, you moved it.
I moved it.
It would have been quicker if you wouldn't have.
We wouldn't have had one.
We have a second? We have a second?
Second.
Second. Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Item number six, groundwater monitoring joint funding agreement with USGS Phillip Bates.
Good afternoon, directors. I'm here seeking approval of our annual joint funding agreement with the USGS for the maintenance of six groundwater gauges from over by La Chara over to Waterloo. And so these gauges were put in back 2016 for a study that USGS conducted with us to determine that interflow between the Platte and the Elkhorn Rivers. And so that since then, they've been collecting continuous groundwater level data that I've been using for things such as our IMP updates, drought contingency planning. It's going into, this information is going into our new groundwater model that's being developed. It's good data. It helps kind of fill in the gap, the continuous gap between the spring and the fall groundwater level measurements I make in this area. And so it basically kind of helps fill in that line where you see up above and below that where I do have that spring and the fall measurements. And so this data is kind of actually fairly important to keep maintaining because I can't go back and get data after we've stopped collecting it. And especially since with this new groundwater model coming forward, if there's any kind of future planning that I want to do, if there's a large industry that wants to go in there, any kind of large sale development or retirement of acres, big changes in groundwater usage, I can use that model then to see what the impact of that groundwater table is, the flow, who's going to be affected, things like that. And that model will be going to 2021. And so all the data that's being collected now and then into the future, I can use that data then as a verification of the forward modeling that I do. So I can see that what is the model performing like I expect. So that way you can then go back and see if the modeled results are as expected. And so with that, this year the cost to the district for these gauges will be $14,680, which is just under $500 more than last year, which is the standard increase that you should expect for the additional cost and data storage and collection. And so if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you very much. We can have a motion on this item.
I'll motion for staff recommendation.
Got a motion?
I don't like it.
We need a second.
I'm not on the PPO.
Are there any additional questions about this presentation?
I'll ask the new question, although I don't think the light's going on.
Yeah, there's no
light. All the time.
The So you had alluded to what the, so the data that you had collected, was there any way to go back and, you said you could use that, but I didn't hear you say if you could use that for historical norms to check, is the data accurate or?
Yeah, so the data that this is, I use this for, basically in this area, I do have a select number of observation wells that I have, both that is owned by the district and irrigation wells that are owned by private individuals that I'm allowed to collect data on. And so that happens twice a year, right? And so I get basically 2 points every year. And what these data, these gauges do is that they're continuous data. And so they basically kind of fill in that line. And so I can see what is happening in that, within those gauges and kind of fill in the gaps between that spring and the fall measurement.
Able to go back and backwards extrapolate to see, hey, I was on that or I was off, here's where my predictions were.
Yeah, especially with the modeling. And so with the with the groundwater model we're being, that's being developed as a computer model.
Yeah.
What I can, what that does is it takes observed data that the model is built off of. And so this is basically a collection of observed groundwater data, pumping, land use, weather data, all that stuff. And it gets an approximation of what is happening to the groundwater table in the area. And so if I wanted to do something in the future then, so that model only is being developed up to 2021's worth of data, because it takes a couple years to make one of these. So if I, let's say in 2 years, somebody wanted to put in like, Lower Platte South loves these, Lower Platte North loves these things, like a chicken farm, right? A big chicken barn where they have several wells and they have a large new usage. I can see, I can model that added usage to the groundwater. And then, so 2021 to 2028, let's say, I can say these are the expected new inputs to the model. Verify what the groundwater is doing in that model to the actual measured information. And so when that new usage hits on, I know that the model is performing as expected, and can, I can use that as a verification. I can even then, let's say, back that up and say, if that had been in 4 or 5 years earlier, I can see what the overall change would be, both just in the groundwater table and the overall flow between the Platte and the Elkhorn.
Sorry.
Larry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought I heard some comments or something. I understood the state government wanted to see these monitoring devices in.
Yeah, so DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, and the governor's office is really pushing data collection, monitoring, to know how much water we're using and how much water is available. There is a push to probably expand irrigated acres, but then to also to look at industrial uses, which as Philip talked about, so how much water is industry using and then how much water can industry quote unquote give up for other purposes, so to speak. So, but yeah, they are really pushing all of the NRDs. We just had another meeting with the governor about an hour and a half in Nebraska City, and they're really, data collection is just a huge initiative. Talk about probably metering every well, and modeling obviously is a huge portion of that. So there is an effort there.
Thank you.
Phil?
All right, I've been here for 4 years, so this question's for legal. I've never seen a motion in a subcommittee not get a second and then never continue. So what happens now? Does it just go?
It dies.
The whole thing dies, or does it go to the committee? Or does it go to the whole group next meeting?
I can second it, correct?
Yeah.
Oh. To answer your question, if there is not a second, it dies in the committee, it's not considered on Thursday.
Okay, but, so if he seconds it, then and it's denied, then it's still heard on Thursday.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'd like to second the motion.
Mr. Chairman, Mike, every year I've come here, I make the same speech. The water that travels from Lashura underground through Valley to Waterloo turns around and goes right back into the Platte River downstream. We're not really this has always been my objection. We're paying $19,000 bucks. It's not going some other direction. It's going right back into the river. It just has a little detour. It goes to from LaShera to Valley to Waterloo and then downstream back into the Platte. And that's, you know, I've always said, why spend $19,000 when you can have a well downstream of that and accomplish that, you know, get the information you need. Now this year, I'm probably a little bit more willing to discuss this because I'm aware there's some new hotels being built by Love's gas station because of the sports complex. You've got some grocery stores on the on the south side of the valley coming in by 3M and a new housing project, new lake, new baseball fields, soccer fields, and whatnot. But yet, not using a tremendous amount of increase of water, and there's going to be less irrigation because that area was never really that heavily irrigated, and now it's turning into a, you know, more commercial operation, and not industrial commercial, but you know, motels and hotels and light. But that's always been my objection to it. No offense to you, I want you to understand. I have. Go ahead.
Any other comments? Roll call.
Teaser?
No.
Thompson?
No.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Item number 7, Barrett Maintenance Building Bids. Justin Novak.
Good afternoon, directors. So as you guys are aware, you know, we purchased some property there next to the Blair Field office here a few years ago with the anticipation that we would someday build a maintenance facility along with some other things that are much needed for the Blair Field office. We tried to do this in April. We had one person show up to the site showing and zero bids received. So we kind of went back to the drawing board, and I went to Husker Harvest Days, reached out with a bunch of contractors and people I know, and kind of beat the streets to try to get some bids, and I think it was very successful actually this time. So we had 9 people show up to the site showing and 7 people submit bids, so I was very pleased with the turnout this time, pleased with the bids. We had a low bid of $1,048,000 from Rogge General Contractors. The architect's estimate was $959,583. I think some of that difference just comes in. There's so many variables in these building costs nowadays, especially when you're looking at steel shops and things that are required for this. So, you know, obviously the NRD, we don't build a lot of structures that are buildings. We build structures that are dams and other things that we know a lot about. So I felt that these were good bids. If you look at them, they're all kind of in the same ballpark. Rogge General Contractors, I spoke with them. They're excited about this project. They're actually building the Central Platte NRD new building there as well. So they're familiar with the NRDs. They're familiar with kind of how everything's worked with us. Have a really good feeling about them. And then they came well recommended as well through Schemmer Associates, who did our design and bidding for this building as well. So I think it'll be a real nice shop. It's 72 by 90. It'll have a couple offices, a bathroom, tree cooler, kind of everything we need as we continue to grow with our tree programs and maintenance and everything that goes on up in the northern field offices. You know, one thing is we continue to build all these dams up north, and we create new watersheds. We're just going to need more hubs and space for these shops. So I think now is the time to do it. You know, we've been kind of planning this for a few years, and so I was pretty pleased with what we got this time. So I would like to move forward with this and get these guys started. And I know that it's probably going to take about a year or so to get this thing, you know, totally constructed. It was kind of the time frame. So
if you have any questions. Thanks a lot, Justin. Any other comments from anyone in the public regarding this item?
Need a motion for purchase.
We need a motion. Still, we have a motion to move staff recommendation. We have a second for this.
Second.
Directors want to make comments? About it?
Good job, Justin.
Oh, thank you. I like getting off easy. I'll be back up for a little bit.
Um, why did you break out the concrete and cast the rock?
So what we were looking at that is we wanted to look at, so there's actually a breakout between the unit cost for rock and unit cost for concrete. And we wanted to do is as we get kind of towards the end of the project, is it more feasible to put concrete down instead of rocking all of this? You know, so we wanted to have that unit cost in there if we decide, you know, because as you know, with rock driveways and other areas, as you plow snow, it just kind of becomes a mess. So we wanted to get an idea of what that, you know, difference in cost would be is if we decided to, instead of doing rock in this area, maybe switch over to concrete. So that's why we kind of split that out that way.
Okay, but it says rock slash concrete.
Yeah.
That price is for what?
That's the
rock or concrete?
That's the combined price of both, but there is a breakdown in between the two. We talking with the architect.
What are you suggesting here?
Well, a suggestion would be is if we can do more concrete and less rock, it's always better in the long term, just because you don't have such a maintenance nightmare.
Okay, so we're tasked to decide which way to go, and it may not be that way.
We are
can't decide now. Do we want concrete? I think concrete is fine.
I do too. I was just trying to save taxpayer dollars. I was just trying to save taxpayers' dollars as much as I could.
Well, no, I understand that. But as far as presenting to us a bid,
yes, sir.
It's not a fixed bid then.
It is a fixed bid. So what we were looking at is, because it's hard to judge. We got 1.8 acres. You know, if we have a guess for this much rock, but will it be that much? I don't know. So if we only need this much rock, then we can use that unit cost to do this much more concrete. And so that's why we wanted to do it that way, because it is kind of a guesstimation on how much tonnage of rock we are going to really use. So if we have a maximum amount of dollars we want to spend, and we only need, say, 100 ton of rock, but we estimated 150 ton, well, that dollars that we were going to use in 50 ton of rock, we can use to do a little bit of maybe more concrete in certain areas that would be better. So
the total cost will be $1,048,000. It's just going to be difference of percentage of what's rocked or what's
paid. So it could be less is what you're telling me.
Potentially.
Okay, how much did we pay Shimmer?
All in all, it was about $86,000, but I am going to actually be doing all the construction inspection myself to save money. So this is Shimmer's deal is over as soon as this is done. So, and, you know, instead of hiring them for doing construction services and inspection, I'll be doing it for us. So.
And we didn't pick Shimmer. Who picked Shimmer?
We did some time ago.
No, that was just a general manager's approval.
Because we're under the 100,000.
Under the 100,000.
And there's no more Shimmer contract. We're done with Shimmer at this point.
Change order.
Well, no, Shimmer's done. They're out.
Shimmer's
here.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm finishing out the rest of the project for us.
All right.
So there will be no Shimmer contract amendment. I can tell you that one, Director.
Any other questions? We have a motion.
We do.
Yes, for public input.
Public input. No.
Roll call.
Yes.
Bonner?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye.
Thank you, Directors.
Thank you. Item number 8, amendment to interlocal agreement with Lower Platte South NRD for Platte River cameras. Amanda?
Good afternoon. So this is a follow-up to an item that the board approved last month, which was a contract with USGS to install a camera at the Louisville Bridge. And so this, before you to consider tonight, is an amendment to the interlocal with Lower Platte South NRD so that we could split the cost 50-50 with them. So just a little background, we participate in 9 cameras on the Platte and the Elkhorn River, and that really came about right after the 2019 flood and the idea that it was a really good idea to have eyes on the river at certain spots, and USGS has the equipment to do that. So we've had on the Platte, we've had Ashland was the lowest, most downstream camera to date, and then we decided Louisville would be a good location. So this just splits the cost for the equipment and the operation for this last year with Lower Platte South. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. We can have a motion on this item.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Great idea.
Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Item number 9, Platte River obstruction removal project bids. Lori?
Good afternoon. So we advertised for bids in October for the Platte River obstruction removal project. This is down on the Platte River, right upstream of Highway 75. After the 2019 floods, there was some material placed in the river, and we now have a grant from the state of Nebraska through Department of Economic Development to get some of that removed. So we opened bids on November 6th, and we received 8 total bids, and they were very favorable. Valley Corp was the low bid at just under $1.3 million. That is not a fixed cost, because we are assuming that a quantity of rock will be removed to get to that cost. And so hopefully we'll be able to do more, but it will be within that total grant amount. We'll remove as much as we can. If you have any technical questions, Mike Sotak with Houston Engineering is here. They are the engineer on the project, and they did recommend accepting the bid from Valley Corp. I can answer any questions.
Thank you. We have a motion on this item.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Yes.
Lori, I think that's a great price, but I'm concerned about, I'm not concerned, but why is like pink grading another like $2 million ahead of that? I mean, the pink's a very bad, I mean, they're reputable. And do you think they can get it done for this price, or are we going to be coming back for some change orders?
I'm going to let Mike answer that, I think. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot of technical stuff with the railroads and their requirements. And so there was a lot of uncertainty, but if you want to add anything.
Good evening, directors. To answer Director Davis' question, so it's a unique project. There's a lot of uncertainty. You know, we're talking about going into a saturated riverbed with sands and digging out, with an excavator rock. We're dealing with two railroads, which adds a whole other level of complexity and pain in the rear to the project. So it's, you know, after the pre-bid meeting, I started getting worried that we weren't going to have enough money to do what we wanted to do. But the good news is, I can tell you, I bid 3 projects last week, one in North Bend, this one, and then the SID project that's associated with one, and we got fantastic bids on all 3. So good timing. Contractors are hungry. But I think really it just came down to how much is it really going to cost to get that rock out of the sand? I mean, it's an unknown. Valley Corp does as much of that type of work as anybody and has the big equipment to do it. So I trust that they'll do a good job.
Where are they going to dump the rock? Is that part of the bid?
So we've got, we're removing 3 things, rock, sand, and all the woody debris that was on the upstream side of the bridge. The NDOT is going to let us take the woody debris, chip it, and basically put it around their lake as just a service, kind of a service road. The sand's getting put in that lake that's right there on the west side of 75 before you cross the river, which was an old borrow pit for Highway 75 that now is owned by DOT. We're basically just going to start at the south shore and put sand in and fill it in. And then the rock is going to 3 different places. And that's the part that doesn't show up in this bid, is that the rock is, part of it's going to the Bellevue Rod and Gun Clubs, part of it's going to SID number 101, which is Chris Nansen Lake. And then the contractors had to determine a 3rd spot. They gave us a haul price for all 3 of those, which isn't included in this base, what this is, the base bid, but they gave us a haul price. So the more we can keep the rock closed, the less the overall project's going to cost. The other thing about the quantities is that the railroads right now are only letting us remove a certain amount of rock, only to a certain elevation, and we have to stay a certain distance from their piers. It's a little bit different from UP to BNSF for each one of those, but it's detailed on the plans. And so we're only actually right now taking out about 40% of the rock that we know is there. So what we've done is we've ordered these this monitoring equipment, and we're going to put it on top of the bridge piers. And we're going to get a baseline information on each of the bridge piers. We're starting that right now at UP and working through it with BNSF. We're going to get baseline information, determine, you know, the how much the piers are moving, et cetera. Then when the contractors start working, hopefully we can prove to the railroads we're not doing anything to your piers. So let us get a little bit more rock out. And as Lori mentioned, there's a lot of money left in the grant there to hopefully go back and expand this project after we can convince the railroads that we could do this without harming the bridge.
That was my next question. You had $7 million grant or something in that range.
$7 million.
$7 million. And then this is a $2 million or $1.5 million expenditure. What else do we have to spend money on?
So Phil, I originally kept enough money in the grant. We wrote the grant so that if we did have to expand the project to be able to remove all the rock, we could. So the original grant amount included removing all the rock and a higher unit price than we ended up seeing in the bridges to remove it. I was estimating the lowest rock coming out at costing us maybe $90 a ton. And it came in at like 20 or 30.
Yes.
I have a question. If it's possible to keep tabs on how many truckloads of rock it ends up being, if it's side dumpers or whatever type of vehicles used, but I'd like to know.
We're requiring a scale be placed at the staging area so that every time they drive off, we know exactly what's being taken.
Thanks.
We also did, before the projects, we also did bathymetry in the lake, mapped out the bottom of the lake so we know, and we could do it when it's done, that we know exactly how much sand was placed in the lake. The rocks will do by weighing.
Any other questions? We could have a motion.
We do.
We
have
to roll. Roll call.
Keyser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Item number 10, amendment number 2 with Olson for WP1 Professional Services. Ian?
Yep. Good afternoon, everyone. So last month, we brought the construction bids for WP1, and just like summer follows spring, this month we have an amendment for construction services for WP1 to get us ready to keep this project moving. So before I talk about the specific amendment, I'm going to run through the history of the contract real quick, because it does include a little bit more than just WP1 in it. So as a reminder, in 2017, the board selected Olson to complete the design for both WP1 and Dam Site 7. So that initial contract included the fee for 60% design and planning of both those structures, and was for a total of $1,219,255, of which $535,000 was specifically for WP1. Following that, the contract was amended once in May of 2018. This included expanding the scope to include the final design and permitting of WP1 and also an update of the Pillion Creek Watershed NRCS work plan, which included WP1 along with a number of other grade stabilization structures throughout the Pillion Creek Watershed. That amendment increased the contract by $932,214 and brings us to our current fee of $2,151,469. So of that total, I put on the memo that about $1.4 million is for WP1, but that includes that NRCS work plan. So really, in reality, of that $2.1 million total that we're at right now, $1,086,823 has been for the planning and the design and the bidding of WP1, just so we're clear on these contract amounts. So as you all know, over the last couple of months, we've been finalizing the final design and the permitting of WP1, and we went out to bid, advertised in September, brought it to board last month, and accepted a bid from K2. So to prepare us for this next phase of the project for construction, we have this amendment, the second amendment with Olson, and this includes a scope for construction management and observation services with them. Attached to this memo, there's firstly a site plan of WP1. It's been a little bit since you've taken a look at it. But also there's the exhibit for the amendment, a detailed description of the scope and the tasks that are being added, and then a full breakdown of the fee. So hopefully you had a chance to look at that, and I'd be happy to go over it in more detail. I have included just a brief summary of kind of what's a part of this amendment. Most of this is pretty standard services for construction administration, observation. We have project management for coordination and meetings and the such throughout the lifetime of the construction project. We have administration services, submittal review, payment request review, project modifications, items like that. And then we have the actual construction observation, and that'll be a full-time project representative on site throughout construction. Additionally, there's a couple other components here that are a little less standard with some of the observation contracts we've had in the past. namely some additional observation by Olson's professional engineering staff of some critical components of the project, items like principal spillway pipe going in, you know, the items that we really want to make sure are being done correctly. And then lastly here, construction, materials field, and lab testing, including all of the soil, concrete, and aggregate testing. Typically, we would have this be the responsibility of the contractor. In this case, we want to maintain control of that through Olson, all of that testing. The reason for that is there's a sort of unique design element, WP1. If you take a look at that exhibit on the third page here, it'll be, you can see how tight it is in that area with the houses on both sides. And really just due to that space constraint, a portion of the auxiliary spillway is being built out of compacted fill instead of cut from the native earth there. Which is not as standard, and so we went through a more detailed review with DNR Dam Safety and got their okay on it, and some additional erosion modeling on that spillway. But we just want to ensure that on this high hazard structure, you know, all the testing is being done stringently and diligently, and we're involved with that process. And so we're having Olson complete that testing as opposed to, you know, verifying what the contractor completes as part of their contract. So that is a little bit, you know, higher than you typically see in these observation contracts, but. All of those services included, the total not to exceed fee of this amendment is $1,436,625. That would bring this entire contract to a total of $3,588,094. Of that, the amount that pertains specifically to the planning, design, bidding, and now construction observation of WP1 would be $2,523,448, just to put into context that total amount versus kind of the specific project that we're talking about here. So, large amendment, but it is a you know, critical service on a substantial project for the district. So I'm happy to answer any specific questions on the project or on the amendment. Dan with Olson is also here to answer any specific project questions that I can't cover. But the recommendation would be to execute this amendment, keep this project moving.
Thanks, Ian. We can have a motion on this item.
So moved. Second.
Motion and a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
What's the estimated construction for the dam?
What's that?
The estimated construction cost for the dam.
The bid we received was for $11,392,223.16. That was the contract price.
So the percentage of the architect fee, it's about 30% of the construction cost?
Yeah, all said and done, planning to construction, roughly a little under 25%, I think. Quick math, is that correct? A little over 25%.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's okay.
Any other questions by directors? Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. And that completes my report.
Time is 4:33. We'll call a meeting of the FEL subcommittee to order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act. It is posted in the rear of the building, or rear of the meeting room. Thank you. Quorum call.
Yeah. Close.
Bradley?
Here.
Conway?
Aye.
Davidson?
Here.
Pennington?
Chairman?
Yeah. Yes. I am for adoption agenda.
So move.
Second.
Conway?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Item 5, proof of publication of the meeting. I do have it before me. Moving on to item 6, liability transfer to Hagen Hills LLC. Ian?
Thank you, Director. Yep, one more for you here. So going a little northeast from WP1, we have Dam Site 7. This is a future reservoir. It's going to be located around 168th and Military Road. This is the one that's covered under that contract as well. It's currently at 60% design, not actively being designed or constructed just yet, but it is developing very quickly up there, and we have acquired quite a bit of right-of-way just from voluntary sellers as the area has progressed. So attached to this memo, if we can jump to the second page here, helpful exhibit. The board may recall in April of this year, we executed an interlocal agreement with, let me see here, all the parties, Douglas County, SID 623 and 633, who are developing in the area, and then Bennington Public Schools. And the subject of that interlocal was the development of that future Rainwood Road that's going to go perpendicular across the dam, highlighted in orange there. Our responsibilities were very light. It was just to dedicate necessary right-of-way and or easements for the project, of which we had some that we have dedicated over the past couple of months. The result of that is that we have a very small 0.041 remnant piece of land in the outlot of one of the SIDs. That's a party to this agreement, SID 633. So if we jump to the third page here, we can take a closer look at that. So this is a piece that's not covered under the interlocal. It's not part of Rainwood Road specifically, but let me try to give this a try. Oh. Pete, take me back up one page. All right, here we go. Okay, so you can see my cursor up here. So this is the little piece that we're talking about down here. It's that 0.041 acre piece, and then Rainwood Road right down there south of it. So this is just a leftover from our dedication of the right-of-way. It offers no benefit to us or the project, and so we were approached by the SID to just dedicate it to them so it can be part of their outlot. They'll be taking care of the maintenance regardless. So the last two attachments is just a specific legal of that piece and then a quit claim deed. So we would recommend that we transfer this remnant piece over to the SID through that quit claim deed. But happy to take any questions again on this project.
Can we get a motion on the floor, please?
I'd like to move a staff recommendation.
Second.
Anybody from the general public wish to comment? Staff, directors, roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
Brinkley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Chairman?
Yes. Thank you. Item 7, storm easement for Dakota County Rural Water Line Main. Justin.
Thank you again, directors. If you can just go ahead and go to the second page, would be good. There we go. Makes it easier when we just look at it here. So as you all know, we just completed the expansion project in Dakota County, so now we're fully operational. And what this has allowed us to do is we have some old existing water mains that we didn't have capacity for, prior to this project, and now we do. And so what has happened is we have...
We got a snowstorm going on.
So we get it to stop pulsing. Nope, maybe not. Well, anyways, so what's happened, we've gotten four new signups along this existing water main that was installed back in the early 1980s. And the way the water main easements were written back then is it's based off the center line of where the actual water main was placed. There was no definitive boundary other than just based off center line. So, of course, this one is installed roughly about 40 feet into the field off the edge of right-of-way. So if you actually use that easement description, we only have 15 foot either side of that water main to access the property. So really, we have about a 20-foot gap between the right-of-way and our easement that does not allow us to access the property. Some people, may or may not know this, but the storms are very well versed in what the rights of the NRD is to access the property. So working with the landowners, Nick Storm and Mike Storm, and our attorney, of course, we have come to an agreement that we would amend all easements along the south side of Fiddler Creek there, basically to, in their consideration, would be given a meter pit for the Mike Storm residence, which doesn't show up, but it's that little kind of odd piece right there in the middle on the south side there by number 200, or that kind of that southwest side. Talking with them, there was potential, that we could, go down a long dark road of things that may or may not have been good for either party. So we figured that talking with the general manager and our attorney that this was the best way to approach this. They were in agreement with this. We've already, created the new easements. The revision of the easements in the agreement has been signed by all the landowners and parties involved. We just have to sign it ourselves and file with the registered deeds. So I think it's a pretty good resolution, for where we're at. But then it's going to allow us 100-foot width of easement along the edge of right-of-way, so then we'll have no future concerns for access to, you know, get in there if we have water main breaks, or connecting these four new customers that have been waiting since April to get their water service. So it's just taking this long to kind of get this deal done, but we get this agreement finalized this week and get it filed with the registered deeds, and we can get these people hooked up. So that's kind of the story of what we have going on. But since there is a consideration, we have to bring this to you as a board to get this approved.
And they don't get free water. They just get
a get free water. Ultimately, it costs us the meter pit, the components, and our time to put it in. You know, it's a $4,000, the connection fee. So really, we're just losing our time and probably about $1,500 in components. But yeah, they're going to be a regular customer like anybody else. This is just, unfortunately, sometimes the way things were done in the 1980s, we're here to fix the problem. So.
Can we get a motion on the floor, please?
So moved.
Second.
Anybody from the general public wish to comment? Directors?
So this is just one meter pit?
Yes, sir. So,
so the value of this trade is $4,000.
Yeah, so we got two easement revisions for one meter pit, which will fix our
problem. But all these other stuff,
they're all paid for, yep, on their own $4,000. Unfortunately.
Oh, no, thanks.
No problem.
Anything else? Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you, directors.
Thank you. Item 8, Sorensen Connection Land Rights, Eric Williams. Congratulations, by the way, Eric.
Thanks very much, Director.
Yeah.
This was originally, this is confidential, but it is here. Okay, great, we've got it on screen. The recommendation is for one parcel on the west side of 72nd Street, on the north side of Sorensen. For the future Sorensen Trail, Sorensen Connection Trail project, we have, I think the next page is a map that shows the parcel location. Yeah, great. So you can see 72nd there, Sorensen on the left. This is a former railroad corridor. Sorensen, further to the west, is on that rail corridor, and we are currently working on a project to the east. There are two distinct projects. East of 72nd is referred to as the Girard Connection. This is west of 72nd, the Sorensen Connection, but they will meet with a future underpass under 72nd. On the east side of this parcel is right-of-way. On the west side of the parcel is right-of-way, so this is anticipated to be the only parcel necessary for this connection. We had an appraisal completed, and the recommendation is for the purchase price of $54,000, which is the appraised value for the parcel. To acquire this single parcel for this future trail project.
I'd like to move a staff recommendation.
Second.
Anybody from the general public? Directors? Roll call.
Conley? Davidson?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Thank you, Eric. Item 9, land acquisition for the M-Site 19. We do not need to go into exec, so go ahead, Lori.
Okay. So we were approached by MRDP LLC, who is purchasing purchasing land near Dam Site 19. Part of it is land that we need for the project. Could you go to the map, Bill? So we did have a public hearing on this a couple of months ago. This is Tract 11. They are purchasing the entire parcel owned by... The images are very large on these, so sometimes it tries to render.
Is it running a model?
And so, okay... The parcel there that we need is outlined in green. We need 53.181 acres. MRDP LLC is purchasing the entire tract for $71,400 per acre. So we're proposing to pay them that for a total of $3,797,123. And I can answer any questions.
I have a second.
Second.
Anybody from the general public wish to comment? Directors?
When our appraisal come in?
We didn't have it appraised since that would be the comparable sale.
on these transactions, when we have a developer purchasing property, we reimburse their cost unless they've acquired the property like a number of years ago and they say, hey, we need to get a more up-to-date pricing. So when we have these where they're acquiring the property and they're paying fair market value, we don't get an appraisal, we just reimburse their cost. And they've sent their purchase agreement.
So we know how much.
We've checked the numbers.
And that 2% is?
It's $70,000 per acre, and then they had the 2%, which would be their commission of their agent for that portion of the property that we're buying. We're not paying the entire.
And what else do we have to buy in this?
How much do we have left?
Off the top of my head, I don't know that number. We have most of what we need. Let's see.
Let me see if I can. And if, you know, the.
So we have some tracks to the west of Highway 6 and 31, and then we have one south of the McGlee parcel, or the parcel tract 11 there.
And remember, this is a core funded, yeah.
Yeah, those dashed lines underneath, is that part of the lake?
Yeah, that's supposed to be the shading for the, to show the lake. That is not showing up really well on here today for some reason.
Okay, so the green part, I mean, is there going to be excess when we're all said and done? Or?
No, there is no excess here. And it's hard to see underneath the green is that same shading. So the lake will actually go all the way up to 192nd.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Thanks.
Roll call, please.
Davidson?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
And Chairman?
Yes. That concludes our agenda. We stand.
Lori, you want to cut it short? One more.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's it. We can
stop. I apologize.
Director Hughes, I recommend we go to the executive session to discuss the acquisition.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Can we have a motion to go to that, please?
I make a motion to go
to the executive committee.
Second?
Second.
Executive session. Session.
This is this discuss
property acquisition.
I see.
Oh, okay, for legal.
He's second.
Land acquisition.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Second.
I see. You want me to call on that?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Land executive session.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Three conditions that we can kick the public out.
You get a motion to go out of the session, please?
We can. The state investors, you don't want.
The second?
Don't.
Roll call, please.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. And we have a motion, please.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Anybody on the audience wish to make a comment?
They left.
Directors? Roll call.
All right, Davidson?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Chairman?
Yeah. Now, this time, I'm going to adjourn this meeting.
4:57.